Welcome back to the Chasing Common Ground podcast, and this is another solo episode continuing on the series of questions that I've been answering. So if you haven't tuned into these episodes, I've done two prior to this one, and this is basically a series that I've put together to batch record some podcasts just to make sure that there are things to listen to as I coordinate with guests and just as backup in case anybody has to cancel so that I can be consistent. Because one of the things that'll probably have to happen in this comeback of the podcast is that there's going to be times when it's just me, or maybe I have somebody step in last minute as a special surprise guest, but more likely than not, it's not necessarily going to be somebody that you've heard of before. So it could just be like a conversation that you just get to be on a fly on the wall for. And I actually prefer sometimes the podcasts where I know that this is somebody that you don't know, because maybe they don't have a big social media presence, or maybe I met them outside of fitness, or maybe they just don't have a lot of people that they're connected to in the same communities that you're connected to. Maybe they're connected to a whole bunch of people in a whole different country. Needless to say, we're going to dive into these questions and finish up this series. This may be a shorter episode, but I now that I've said that, it's probably not going to be because I talk a lot. This is the first question of this series. What are some simple steps people can take to start incorporating a more holistic approach to their health? And the holistic word can be a bit of a buzzword. It can be misinterpreted as something that it's like a box that you have to fit into. Like you have to follow certain rules and guidelines to be able to call it holistic. But what I would say is just like, what are some simple steps people can take to start incorporating a more all-encompassing health and longevity, quality, fulfilling, happy lifestyle? And so when I think about this, I'm not only thinking about your physical and mental health, I'm also thinking about your job. And without encouraging the wrong people to quit their job or the right people to quit their job, I'm just going to say, if you just absolutely hate your job, there's a very good chance that not only you, but everybody around you would benefit from you stepping away. Now, this not only comes from my own experiences, but this has just come from me witnessing the complete 360 in people that mean a great deal to me. And whether it be finding a way to retire early, finding a way to ramp up a side hustle, finding a way to change industries, finding a way to transfer to a different location or work for a competitor, whatever you got to do to sort things out and just make your life a little less stressful, that will absolutely help the rest of your health. And we are not put on this earth to pay pills and die. Even if somebody says we do have to do work to survive, you don't have to absolutely dread every waking minute of your job. And especially for talented people, like I would say, a lot of people who work jobs that they don't enjoy have the potential to exceed anything that I've ever done. And I think the limiting factor is their belief in themselves. Because I might have a character flaw where sometimes I believe in myself more than maybe I should. Like maybe I shouldn't believe in myself. Maybe I should be more realistic, but I'm not. And so I find a way to do what I'm going to do, even if I have to get creative, even if I have to mow lawns or take a part-time real job for a bit or pivot or learn new skills, whatever I've got to do. So, to start incorporating a more holistic approach to your health, I would say make sure, like, protect the house. Make sure that you actually like what you do every day. Because if you despise it, it's going to take one hell of a fitness program to erase that 40 to 60 hours of your life per week. Like, I don't know if it's even possible. But let's say maybe you kind of like, you 60% like your job, 40% don't like your job. Could you create like a movement break in the middle where you have a time to reset? Maybe you bring that 60% job of fulfillment up to 70% because you had a really like renewing lunch break. Or could you maybe get set up with some kind of like a hybrid setup where you spend some time in the office to get some connection, but then you spend some time at home to get some calmness, get away from the chaos, reduce your commute, to set up your office just the way that you want it, with your computer screen just so, and the chair ergonomic, or make a setup with a walking desk where you feel like energized as you're going through your day. There's a lot of different ways to make a job that is actually a pretty good job into an even better job based on like how you are set up in that. You could also look at, for some people, most people I would say learn to cook. There are situations where I would say look into some of the meal prep delivery companies. So essentially, some of the best businesses that deliver this service will actually be able to cater to your specific nutrition goal. So if you are somebody playing recreation hockey two nights a week, maybe your calorie goal will be a bit higher. If you are someone who goes for 30-minute walk every day, maybe your calorie goal will be modest, not low, modest, not too high, just to keep you on track, to give you enough energy to sustain these walks, to get good sleeps, to maintain healthy body composition, and to keep you from falling off track or binge eating or feeling like you're restricting yourself too much. But it's just that sometimes life does call a lot for you. Like, it's, you gotta go, and maybe you got a family, you gotta take the kids to things, you gotta carpool to stuff, you gotta go to birthday parties, you got your own things you gotta do, you got partners things you gotta do, and it's just thing, and you just don't have time to cook. But you have the means to set yourself up with a meal prep company, which eliminates the chance that you end up having DoorDash or Skip the Dishes or Uber Eats for five meals a week. And in the case where you have a family, the whole family benefits. You can get large meals prepared, etc. I don't have a coupon code or affiliate link or anything, but if you're in like the Alberta region listening to this podcast, I can probably track down some of the companies I'd recommend based on what their offer is, the quality of it, or if my clients have worked with them or not. Like, if my clients have gotten the product, what they thought about, all that stuff. Also, if you need a home inspector or a realtor or a plumber, I've got recommendations for all those too. Zero kickback. I'm just one of those guys that knows a lot of people. So just, if that ever comes up and you need a person, I can find them. And even if you're in the States, I could probably find somebody there too. If we go beyond North America, then the water gets a little bit murkier. I don't have as many connections, but I know I have one listener in the Philippines for sure. And I got a few people in Europe. So I can find answers for you in all facets, including continuing education events and different like mentors and et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, back to the topic at hand, we're going to go to the next question. See, I told you this was going to be long, but this is a question I really like. And I'm going to just quickly have some drink first. Full disclosure, I'm sipping on some Coke Zero, which is my bubbly drink of choice, but it's in a coffee mug. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you're going to see this mug that says All I Ever Wanted. If you're like, what, YouTube? You have YouTube? I put these episodes on YouTube too. I also have put up a whole bunch of my exercise demos. So if you want to follow me on YouTube, search for Chris Little on YouTube. I often also put the link to the YouTube in the show notes. If you can't find it there, reach out, send me a message. But it should be searchable when you type in Chris Little Fitness on YouTube. Nonetheless, what I'm here to say is the question is, what was your biggest takeaway from the Real Coaches Summit in Las Vegas? There's a lot of takeaways I could take from this, but I would say that, I was doing a lot of thinking about this yesterday evening because I was listening to Mike Dola and Jeb Stuart Johnston's newest podcast collaboration that they put on, where they kind of like, they really dive down some rabbit holes. The podcast, it has a title. I forgot what it was. I mentioned it three or four episodes ago. So there's a really short and sweet episode that I put out where I actually like showcase their podcast, and you'll actually be able to link to it. But if you search for Mike Dola and Jeb Stuart Johnson, you'll find the episode that way. But essentially, the theme of their podcast is they're going to be choosing a book that changed their guest's life, or maybe their life if they're talking to each other. And that's how they're going to kind of dig into more of like the real life things of their guest or just of their conversation, instead of being like, oh, well, how did you get in the industry? Or what's your origin story? Or like, what do you think about the carnivore diet? Or what do you think about creatine? Like, instead of these surface level things that were just, are there so redundant, we hear it so often, they're going to dig a bit deeper. And I like that. And as I was thinking about me liking that, I was thinking about so many other things that we all were doing at the conference. And I was like, oh, I like that too. And then there was just like the ways that we think and the ways that we show up to our life. Like Jeb was talking about his sort of like his monotonous routine where he does like the same thing day in, day out. He doesn't need so much like novelty in his life. Like he doesn't need to do too many exciting things, although he appreciates the exciting things. And I may be paraphrasing some of his words, so definitely hear it from his mouth instead of mine. But the main thing was, I was like, I like these guys. And I like a lot of the people that I meet in fitness. And it's because we have like these common passions and common values. That's a big one. Like it's, we care about everybody feeling comfortable being themselves. And when you really think about that, it should make sense. And we care about everybody feeling safe. And we care about everybody being able to live a really good life. Like we are in this industry to help people live a good life. We don't want them to be unhealthy if we can help them. And we don't want to be the barrier for them to get the help that they may need. If they could benefit from listening to a podcast, we're the kinds of people who would love to put that out for free, which is why there's no paywall for this podcast. But that is kind of the thing that sort of stood out for me, was that I was like, wow, like I gravitate towards these people online because they're so much like me. And when I see them walking around and talking and acting and being themselves just as they are, then I'm like, this is why I gravitate towards them. Because like there's commonalities that may be rare if you're just out and about, but common when you kind of get into this very like very niche space of an industry that has many coaches. Like I would say there's probably millions of coaches in the world, and I might know 800 of them. And it feels like that 800 of them is like the whole industry. But then there's parts of the industry that I don't even know about. There's certifications that I probably never heard of. There's regions that do fitness that I've never been to, never visited. And so I don't know the entire space, but I know my space. And then I know within that space, like the 50 people that I relate to the most. I know like the 10 people who I aspire to be more like. I know like the 5 people that challenge me to be different, where it's like I hear them say something at first, I'm like, oh, what? And I'm like, oh, you know, they have a good point, because I just decided to be patient and listen to it more and understand things from their point of view. That would be the biggest takeaway. It kind of just reminded me that I am connecting with people that are probably in my best interest to connect with. It reminded me also the value of being in those events to connect with more people that I otherwise wouldn't have connected with, because I connect with people that I've never been able to talk to at such like a easy, effortless level. And I didn't have them on social media. Now I do. So that would be the takeaway. I will always encourage people to go to these kinds of events, even if like your industry is completely different. I think seeing people in person and being able to hug them, give them a fist bump, a high five, laugh with them, eat food next to them, learn with them, be silly, all that stuff. I think that's just, it changes your life without seeming like too dramatic, but it definitely makes life a lot more fun. And it's enriching. So next story is, can you share an inspiring story or lesson you learned from another coach at the summit? This one's cool because it might not be like anything unique, but it was just kind of one of those things where if you say something out loud to somebody else, they can support you by just saying what you said to them back to you. So I was talking to a coach who has just been working her ass off. She does probably 20 plus in-person sessions per week. She exceeds 120K per year. It's a pretty good space to be in for a trainer, considering the fact that like the burnout rate is like people get into the industry and they're out in 2 years, or they've been in it for 8 and they still can't quite make a good living. Like, to be in that position, like, she's been doing this well. And so it's just kind of cool to hear that perspective. She might actually tune into this episode. So if she does, hello. All that to say that in that conversation, I felt like all I had to do was to say, hey, you're on the brink of something pretty profound. You have a community that absolutely loves what you're putting out to the space. You have the skill set to be able to give yourself a bit more lifestyle flexibility in the sense that you can work with people online as well as in person, where you're not always going to be reliant on being at a facility or being available at a certain time of day, but you can still do that because I find that to be very fulfilling personally. Like, I continue to work with people in person, although I work 50 to 60 hours online per week. I like doing the in-person stuff too, so I do about 5 to 10 hours of that per week. And because it's just like the human connection, the being able to see people hit their PRs, also just being able to just work with people who just simply want to work with me. Like, I don't get assigned people that don't want to work with me. People reach out and they say, are you taking on clients? And I say, yes. And then I get you on a video call and we get to know each other. I mostly get to know you because I want to know, like, what's your life been like leading up to this call? What has fitness been like for you? Where's your nutrition at? What do you do for work? What's your dog's name? Little things that matter. And then we start working together. So the inspiring story or lesson that I learned from another coach was that so many of us are closer than we think, and we're just our own harshest critic, and we are holding ourselves back from the things that we say that we want, and we've been saying that we've wanted it for years and years and years. And sometimes we just have to, like, do something a bit gutsy, step out of our comfort zone, but not in that cliche way where it's like, oh yeah, you're gonna like speak in front of an audience and step outside of your comfort zone. But more so, it's like, you know, that routine that you keep doing and it's like, it's mind numbing how like exhausting it is. Well, why don't you just like change it? So in my conversation with her, I was like, well, just take like a sabbatical. And that terminology may not be quite accurate for a non-religious context, but what I'm trying to say is, like, structure yourself like 2 weeks, a month of time away from that hectic lifestyle, so you have some breathing room to structure out your next steps, to put some things in place, so that when you circle back and you're back to that old routine, you can start integrating some of the new stuff and start to flesh out the ideal lifestyle where you've blocked out the time that you need to do podcasts or have visits or go on vacations or travel or sleep or do your own workouts. But you've set up the framework that you need for your business to be able to make the revenue that you need to pay your bills, to upgrade your home, to get your own facility, to do all that stuff. So that would be the inspiring story or lesson, because I was very moved by the momentum that she had. And like, for myself, I get motivated when I see other people crushing it, because it's just, it gives me this lens on life where I'm like, well, I could crush it in my ways as well. And if I'm surrounded by people crushing it, the odds of me crushing it are much higher. It's like being in a gym where a whole bunch of people are hitting their PRs or they're winning their competitions. in an environment like that, you're much more likely to succeed with the right attitude and the right work ethic than you are if you are on a team that's like, well, losing builds character. Let's lose again. Don't expect much. Probably going to lose. Like, if that is like your coach or your leader, like it can be very difficult. And I know this from an experience that I got to witness. And it's tough. Like, you can't win if the coach doesn't want you to win. You can't win if the owner doesn't want you to win. You can't win if your client doesn't want to win. Like, it's very challenging. And so to be in an environment where people are just on the brink, just on the cusp of something great, where they're continuing to get better, continuing to work on themselves, continuing to shine in their own unique way, I think that's really cool. But that was a long ramble. So the next question is, what's a question you wish more people would ask about fitness and life? Well, there's lots of questions that I like. And what I wish more people would ask is, in most cases, a very deep, very introspective question. I'm a very deep thinker. I think almost too much. I think about how short life is. I think about what's the point of all this. I think about, like, what is legacy to me? What is, like, my purpose in life? Like, what am I doing? There was a time when I was in an industry that didn't feel like I was doing much, and I just remember kind of, like, staring at the wall in the building and being like, what am I doing? Because I didn't feel like whether I showed up to work or not mattered. Whereas in fitness, it does. People rely on me to be on Zoom calls. People rely on me to be at the gym. People rely, and in the best way, people rely on me to create marketing material. People rely on me to teach them things. A lot of people rely on me to brighten their day. I am widely known as someone who is very good at hyping people up, very good at lifting people up, both physically and emotionally. But that I wish more people would ask about fitness and life in terms of, like, why are we here? And I wish that they would entertain me with their answer as well. Because sometimes I think that we kind of go through life and we sort of, like, dance around that question. Then life goes, we get further and further through everything and we start to think, like, wow, I went through all of this as though I had, like, a chance to do it over. We don't. Perhaps you could see yourself reincarnating, and I'm open to that. Or maybe there's some transfer of energy after you die, or maybe there's heaven, hell, all those things. That's fine. But in this moment that we're physically here on this earth in this body, we don't get a second chance. Like, the game over screen doesn't pop up and then we get to try again. At this moment, there isn't some kind of way to be immortal. That may change. This podcast might not age too well if that whole, like, brain chip thing comes into play and people are, like, generating backups of us off of stem cells. That would be awkward. But at the time of this recording in March 2024, you die, that's it. You could die at 20, you could die at 40, you could die at 80, you could die of predictable causes, or you could die of freak accident. You could die tomorrow, you could die next week. And so you have to fill your time with things that matter to you. The things that resonate to me are when people place their decisions around their values. They never miss a birthday. They stop what they're doing to go on a holiday. They take time to talk to people on the phone. They help friends when their friends need help. They give back to their community in some way, shape, or form. Those are the things that I think make life life. The next question we have is, can you share a moment of vulnerability in your journey as a personal trainer and nutrition coach? And the first thing that pops into my head is the pandemic shook me up real bad. And that's sort of like a quick way to say it, but just sipping on my drink here. The pandemic forced me to change in ways that I wouldn't have if not for the pandemic happening. But some of those changes made people see me differently than they did prior to. So prior to the pandemic, I had a very lean body composition, and a person would see me as like a very competent, confident coach and trainer. During the pandemic, I gained weight. I would say that my confidence was impacted because I spent weeks isolated, because for a period of time, we weren't allowed to see our family unless they were in our like close contact or our little like pocket of people. And so at first it was like, well, the only person that could be in your pocket of people, Chris, is your aging parents. And I was like, well, it seems that there's a risk that I could cause them danger if I interact with them. And then time went on and it was like, okay, like if when we are spending time together, we're eating good meals and we're exercising, we're probably all going to be finer than the rest of the population. Plus having that social connection is going to be a lot healthier for us. So just being clear on that, I would say that never isolate people like that ever again and promote fitness and nutrition the whole dang time. Anyways, through that process in gaining the weight, in struggling with the isolation, struggling with the lack of purpose, from the outside in, it could have looked like I failed. And I felt like I failed. And there was a lot of like pivoting I had to do. I did 2 contracts with Lululemon. There was a lot of times when I just like felt like garbage. And that's when I sought out counseling. And there was times when I was going to leave the industry. All in that period of time during the pandemic, from 2020 to 2022, pretty much. Is terrible. I didn't feel strong. I didn't feel confident. I do now. But like there was certainly like some times where I was like, why am I even in this industry? Like I'm not working out because I can't get to a gym. Then I was able to borrow some dumbbells from Evolve. Then I felt better. And it's crazy, isn't it? Just like just one piece of the gym and it makes you feel better. But just imagine if I had the gym the whole time. And how I could have grown differently, how I could have progressed in my lifts, how I could have maybe not fallen off track so much, how I could have had people around me that I could like hang out with. So that would be the vulnerability of my journey as a personal trainer and nutrition coach. But I would have to say that on paper and aesthetically, as far as just like, now I'm doing jiu-jitsu and I won a competition and I can lift a whole bunch. I'm definitely built a lot bigger than I was when I was doing endless spin classes, but I'm pretty cool with that. And I could definitely refine my body composition to lean out even more. But right now I'm at a pretty good sweet spot where I'm able to do a lot of different things in life, where I can socialize. I've been doing a booze-free streak that started in January 2023 and is still going strong, and that just seems to make no difference in my life. I just have a Coke Zero, or I get a non-alcoholic beer, or I have some water. This very exotic drink that not many people are talking about, but water, I tell you, you should try that out sometime. But all this to say is, like, I think everybody probably has a story like this. A lot of my friends, I know the story because I have the conversations with them or I pay attention to the things. And they always come out of it better. So your takeaway from that little snapshot of my life is that when you're going through shit, when things aren't quite going according to plan, or it just looks like you're on the struggle bus, feels like you're on the struggle bus, you're going to write a comeback story for yourself, and it's going to be really, really good. My career got way better from getting through all of that shitty stuff, and I got smarter, and I got more skilled, more qualified. I relate to more people. I have better coaching skills. I have a lot better environment, because after they had closed the gyms for those series of times, I invested about $2,000 to $3,000 in fitness equipment for my condo. Cause I was like, if there's anything, whether it's like a tornado, a blizzard, if I am stuck here and I can't get out of the house, or I'm not allowed, or whatever it is. If I'm sick, I can't do in-person sessions, and I can't go to jiu-jitsu. I'm going to have fitness stuff here so that I can stay active. So I got the Echo bike, I got the adjustable dumbbells, I got a walking treadmill. Got a lot of stuff. I've also been able to share some of that stuff with my parents because I got them on strength training programs. They're actually both remote clients of mine. So to put things into context, my parents are 71 and 70. They follow a strength training program with videos that demonstrate the exercises for them. It also describes them in some of them. Some of my newest series of videos, I actually have narration as I'm doing the exercise. And there's subtitles. And the older series of videos that some of my clients get still, it's just a visual demonstration with a written demonstration below. And I encourage everybody, if they have questions, just send me a message and then I can clarify anything that doesn't make sense. And I also can modify things. And basically the way that the program goes is they get programmed out 4 weeks at a time. And this allows you to progress yourself. But I understand that people like to have a little novelty. It does kind of vary from person to person. My dad follows the same program for like 4 months at a time, because for him, simple is better. But then I'll get some younger clients who they're used to sort of like a CrossFit atmosphere, Orange Theory atmosphere. And so I can keep them on task with 4 weeks at a time. It's also a good checkpoint for us to progress some of the exercises. Let's say it's a modified plank, then we progress it to a regular plank, or it's push-ups, then it's like feet elevated push-ups, or maybe it's incline press, and we change it up to be just a bench press. So that's just the opportunity to kind of restructure things, keep things going along. It kind of acts as a subscription where people just like, it'll essentially auto-renew until you say that you're ready to be done. And then we go our separate ways and I ask for your feedback and maybe get a testimonial. But that is basically how it goes with that fitness. And I just mention that because sometimes people forget what it is that I do. But I coach people in person and online. We're going to finish this off with one more question. This next question is, how do you think deep conversations can influence someone's fitness journey? We're going to give it 3 more questions. So this, because the other questions are so good. So I don't want to just leave you on a cliffhanger. But first, I'm going to answer this first one. What I would say is, if there's anything that I know that I do well, it's connecting with people. Because I can connect with other coaches. I can help them with their careers. I can connect with my clients. And I can change people from being like, I will never go to the gym, I will never strength train, to becoming someone who their identity is around being strong and being confident, where they wouldn't have felt nearly as confident if not for that strength progression that they encountered, whether they went to the gym or not. I find ways. And that is how these deep conversations that I have that lead to this influence them. Because I get people feeling more confident, I improve people's quality of life, I improve the things that they're able to do, and in a lot of cases, people do, there's been about 3 or 4 instances where people did upgrade their job while they worked with me, whether it be through the important questions I asked them, the things I learned about them, the things that I reflected back to them. Maybe they were selling themselves short, and I help them see their own potential, not only physically, but also mentally, and then how that would apply to their career. And they were like, oh, shoot, I've been selling myself short, and they applied for something else. These are kind of the ways that these deep conversations can influence somebody's fitness journey. So as I said, 2 more questions, then we'll sign off for today. What's next for you in blending worlds of fitness, nutrition, and introspective conversation? This podcast. So to put out a teaser, I had talked about one of the coaches that I met where they're just crushing in their career. So the plan is to get that coach to come on and co-host some episodes with me where we would rally back and forth and talk to each other. Maybe we'd bring on some guests, maybe a guest that I know, maybe a guest that she knows. And so that is kind of the plan that I have in mind. Again, some of these things could change. So maybe some episodes go by and this doesn't happen. Maybe next episode you listen to, it's happening already.